listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. I'm really pleased to have with me once again Chris Taylor. He is the president of Great Bear Resources and also a member of the board. He is also a structural geologist, has more than 20 years of experience in the field, is at really a remarkable young, well, pretty young by my standards anyway, young career. 20 plus years, but my goodness, a lot of geologists, when they when they're my age and they're ready to retire, would dream of having such a success as the Dixie deposit. Chris, thanks for joining me again. It's really good to have you with me once again.
Yeah, thank you, Jay.
You know, I guess before we get started, I should just tell our listeners, GBR is a symbol in Toronto. GTBAF, you can buy it in the U.S. as I have. Chris, correct me if I'm wrong about this, but I think only 53 million shares yet. Does that sound right?
Yeah, 57 now, but you're pretty much bang on there.
Wow,
Jay.
I mean, that's really something for a company that has achieved all you've done. I saw a price of $14.46 in Canadian money earlier today. That would give you a market cap of, I guess you'd be pushing, getting close to 800 million, something like that. Yeah. You know, when we spoke, I guess it was a couple of months ago, you know, I was mistakenly suggested that your shares hadn't really moved much. It sort of meandered around for a year, but I was so wrong about that as I looked, and you corrected me, by the way, but I looked at the chart this morning. You said you had doubled. Well, actually, you've more than doubled. You went from the low of, I guess, a pandemic low of something like $4 in Canadian money all the way up to 20 in a matter of months, you know, by July. But since then, you're sort of meandering around as you're doing the engineering and the stuff that people don't get terribly excited about. And I think, though, that there may be more than what people are recognizing there. It seems to me that the market is suggesting that, you know, with its activity, that they're suggesting that probably the wealth has basically been discovered already, and there's not much reason to get excited about this story. I guess we'll find out when you provide your maiden resource, which is going to come up sometime in the hopefully not too distant future. But what do you say to people that say, you know, why pay attention to Great Bear anymore? I think, you know, it's $14, it's a half a billion dollar, we just said the market cap is fairly substantial. What do you say to those people?
Well, it's a bit of a paradox for us, because inside of Great Bear, we're vibrating with excitement, might be the best way to describe it. Uh-huh. For instance, I was on site recently, just a few weeks ago now, and one of the new board members that we brought in is a mining engineer with a lot of operational experience in mines. And we were just trying to get our heads around some of the early feedback we're getting from engineering groups. And there's a number of these guys working on what we have now. And it's very exciting to see that what we're going to provide for the market is that really, really unusual combination of high-grade gold in a significant open-pit type scenario. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. probably the most likely development scenario here, is that it will be a large operation, a lot of ounces produced on an annual basis, probably most likely starting with a high-grade open-pit operation, and then progressing for many years after that in an underground mining operation. And in that sense, what Great Bear will provide will have very, very few parallels in the world of mineral exploration today. And that's a really top-level project that looks like it'll make a lot of money in a short period of time. So those are forward-looking statements, if I've ever made any. But when you're looking at the kind of assay results that we've generated just consistently for years in a row now, that's really what should bring in the value for Great Bear. That should be exciting, is getting away from the speculation and delivering on those sort of realities, or that what we see, those are the realities of the project. So very rare and very exciting for us inside the company.
Yeah, right. If you can have, you have such high grades that come right up to the surface, very close to the surface, both with your LP zone as well as the earlier Hinge and I guess those two more traditional Red Lake type deposits also come pretty close to the surface as well. So I guess that's right. If you can get a lot of heavy production, low cost production early on, the project's net present value would obviously be enhanced considerably. So that is certainly something people will be wanting to watch. When do you expect to come out with your first, with your maiden resource, Chris? Do you have a time in mind? I'm sure you do.
Yeah, it's most likely to be in the first quarter of next year. But what we're getting is all the input now from the engineers and the planners that are telling us where we need additional drill holes to be able to finish off that process. And I'll know in the next few weeks. So we'll make an announcement in the not too distant future of when exactly that date is going to be. And that's, that's what I think will be a very interesting. Well, then the clock is ticking. Right, the clock is ticking on when that number's coming, and if we're correct about the potential, the economic potential of the system, and we deliver on it, there should be a very pleasant, sort of valuation that comes into Great Bear at that time, based on what we expect.
Mm-hmm. How far away is the Hinge zone from the LP zone?
Roughly about 500 meters. So, in any sort of potential mining scenario, I think. It's what attracts us to the project, despite the fact that we own it. If we didn't own it and we were looking at it from the external point of view, like any other mining company in the world, what would really attract you to it is that you have this multi-kilometer LP fault target, which, frankly, will probably extend to great depths and has, right now, we've got drilling in this grid over 5 kilometers. That will be most likely mined in an open pit bulk tonnage type scenario and then go underground for however long it goes for. And these things in the Red Lake area tend to go for kilometers, like 2.5 kilometers depth at the main mine. But they're located right beside these other zones. So very likely what I would expect to see is open pit bulk tonnage mining operation at low cost. That would get everything going. Most likely that's appealing because it would pay itself back very quickly. And then in the future, you'd have concurrent mining operation at the big LP fault zone underground and at the other zones that we found, the Dixieland, the Hinge zone. And that would be very exciting because it would keep low-cost mining going. But the project conceivably could all be paid for, with the money that you would generate from the open pit portion of the operation for many years. That would be paid for in a very quick period of time. If what we're seeing is correct, we would expect this project to be one that would pay for itself in a very short window, and that makes it appealing from that point of view as well.
Yeah, net present value. And would you see the possibility of drifting over from the Hinge to the LP, or would the LP start with the Hinge from the LP zone to the Hinge? Would you see a possible drifting over there, or would you start open pit from the Hinge zone?
I've seen a variety of different scenarios generated. Yeah. Some of them include open pit on top of the Dixie Limb zone, for instance. Mm-hmm. Certainly, they think it's a good idea on the LP fault zone. But they're not far away. They're only 500 meters apart, so they're likely to be developed more or less concurrently. And the good thing about the project is all the material and the metallurgical work that we've done so far and all the thousands and thousands of observations of free gold, visible gold, it looks like all that material can go through the same mill together. And that means that you can have an optimized type of mill feed sourcing from all these different areas, but going through the same plant, which would be a really, really good economic scenario for making sure that you maintain that production at the level you want to see over the long term as well.
I want to ask you about your royalty company, but before we get to that, before we run out of time, I want to ask you just to perhaps compare the footprint now of what you have on the LP zone, the LP fault zone, with some of the other larger Canadian projects.
That's a great point, Jay. It's really important to compare apples to apples instead of apples to oranges. And we make sure that we publish material that shows that sort of footprint, the big scale comparison of things like the Canadian Malartic Mine, which is 3.5 kilometer long open pit that we see with Yamana and Agnico Eagle that operated. It's the biggest mine in Canada. That has a similar footprint to the LP fault zone. Remember, that's just the main zone in our project. It's not all the gold zones. Detour Lake is a big one that was bought for, I believe it was about $4.5 billion by Kirkland Lake just in the recent past, a couple of years ago. And that's one that has a similar size footprint to the LP fault zone as well. Or the Hemlo deposit, which was really the crux of Canadian exploration success and discovery in the 1980s and is still in operation today, 40 years later. That one has a similar physical footprint to what we're looking at with the LP fault zone. And certainly with the deeper drilling we've been doing, it shows that the LP fault zone is alive and well, and actually in where we've drilled it, it's actually improving in the areas that we've done the deeper drilling so far. So we're showing that sort of large-scale potential. And if you're going to compare apples to apples, compare it to the right apples. These major projects, these sort of large tier one type projects are really what we are more comparable to.
Well, certainly investors that have gotten in early, as my subscribers have done extremely well, buying the stock at well under a dollar a couple of years back and up to $20 in Canadian money. But you also have some icing on the cake here in the form of a royalty, the GBR. I guess it's trades, what's the GBR royalty, the Great Bear royalty. Tell our listeners about that royalty. What? Just explain what it is.
Well, effectively, it's a plain vanilla 2% net smelter royalty on the property, on the Dixie property. And we spun it out to shareholders because we wanted to make sure that long-term, our shareholders got the benefit of having that royalty. And now, of course, you can buy it in the market if you're interested. And it's quite interesting for us to see that it was listed quite recently, just a few weeks ago, and it's trading now. A 2% net smelter royalty on Dixie is trading at about $100 million value. And that's quite incredible given that the Great Bear as a whole is trading at about an $800 million valuation. And the analysts and independent reviewers that are looking at that value, they think that the royalty should trade for about, somewhere between 10 and 20% of the value of the project. And what we're looking at with the early trading here is that it's implying a valuation on Great Bear that's considerably larger than Great Bear's current value. And it's the kind of thing that if we're correct about what Great Bear is, and then, it's going to tie into the value of Great Bear royalties, it could be one of the 10 to 15 largest or most valuable royalties of this type in the world. And if that's the case, it would have considerably more value than we currently see as well. So these are sort of the ways that we're trying to put money into shareholder pockets as we do the engineering work, as you say. The less exciting work that leads to that real value unlock in the long term is what we're engaged in right now. We keep reporting good drill results, but it's really those sort of potential economics that we want to deliver, and we're very optimistic about, that that should also have a pleasant implication for the value of the Great Bear royalty side, and that's already trading at $100 million value, which makes it one of the larger junior royalty companies in the world just based on that one asset.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, do you see the possibility of this royalty company buying other assets then besides the Dixie? Or is that just looking too far into the future?
It's possible, but it's one of these things where when you have a really good asset on your hands, I mean, where else could you find a royalty that has similar potential value to the Dixie royalty? I just said it's one of the top 10 or 15 of these types of assets on the planet. It's very unlikely we'll be able to acquire something of similar quality. So one of the best ways that we can add value over the near term in that company, say during 2021, is to let Great Bear do its job and let the grandiose type statements and projections that I'm making come to fruition. And if we're right and the economics are good and the project is what we think it is, the value should be significantly better. And that's really just, we just need the time to do our job.
And you just build up cash, just build up a lot of cash, or perhaps build up some gold in that, in that royalty, who knows. But anyway, build up value of one kind or another. Chris, it's great. Just one more thing real quickly here. My engineer is saying I have 30 seconds. You have a webinar coming up, I think, pretty soon. Tell our listeners how they can avail themselves to that. Because I know these are very valuable. You do a great job of explaining the project in these webinars.
Yeah, Jay, we have a lot to talk about, Bob Singh and myself. We haven't done one in many months now, so there will be one coming up in the near future, and I'd expect to see an announcement on timing, including participation instructions, in the next couple weeks.
Excellent. All right. Well, we'll have to leave it go at that. Chris, thank you so much for updating us. A lot of excitement still there, even if the market isn't recognizing it so much right now. Obviously, they are in that royalty company. Somebody sees something valuing that royalty company where it is valued now. So thanks so much for being with us, and we'll look forward to keeping up with you in the future.
Thanks, Ray.
All righty, folks. So we do have to go to break now. Peter Buchvar will be with us for the first time, and we'll want to hear what he has to say at Bleakley Capital, how they're managing their money over there. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Peter Buchvar.
Voice America is available on your Google connected device.
Okay, Google, play Turning Hard Times into Good Times podcast on iHeartRadio.
Try it today.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.